Sonia, come on in. Let's open in a word prayer. Our Father, thank you for the blessing, the privilege, the honor to just to be able to freely come here and study your beautiful word together. We bless your name this morning. We worship you. Thank you that you are our Father and you care for us. And you tell us in your word that we can cast all of our care upon you because you care for us. We lift up our friends. We lift up Cindy. We lift up Jenny, especially this week. Father, care for them ever so gently. Meet their every need. Heal them. Bless them. Provide everything, Father. Bless those that are going to be caring for them, God. And we just ask you as we come to your word this morning that you would speak very powerfully into our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in the last verses of our letter. And guess what? We're going to finish this book next week. You believe it? Over 7 months we've been in this book. I love Sunday school because we get to go slow. Thursday mornings I have to go fast. But on Sunday mornings we can take our time and we can savor Scripture. And that's what we've been doing in this book. And our last section is a group of verses, verses 13 through 21. These verses are kind of like the PS to the book. They are the summary to the book. And in this section, John is focusing on things that you, as a Christian, can be certain of. Things you can know. And last week, we just took one verse, and we looked at the first thing that we can know, and that comes to us in verse 13. So get out your scripture page. And let's go to verse 13. And this is what John says that we covered last week. These things, speaking about his whole letter now, the things I've said in this letter, I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. That would be to Christians. We're believers. Why did you write this, John? Well, he's going to tell us. So that you may know that you have eternal life. And we said, based on this verse, that the one thing we can know for certain is that we have eternal life. So write that on your handout. That's the very purpose that John wrote this letter, was to create in the mind of Christians a certainty that they can know that they are saved. If you rephrase that verse, it goes like this. We know that we have eternal life because what has been written? And I said last week to you, I know I'm saved not because of anything I've experienced, not because of a feeling I have. I know I'm saved because what is written down in God's word. That is my certainty. And then what he was saying became the Bible to us. And so we can know that we're saved because of what he's written in this book. Now, I wish I could stay there and reteach that lesson. I can't. So let's move on to the next thing that we can know for certain. And this one is really absolutely stunning. It's just unbelievable. And I want you to just this morning let this sink into your mind. Let's write it down first. And then we're going to read the verses. Here's the certainty. We can know God answers our prayers. You can know that when you pray, God's going to answer. Now just think about that. I sit down to pray. I know God hears me, and I know I have an answer. Now that makes me want to pray. And so we just said we can know we have eternal life. And we said about that last week. Let's write this down. When you think about eternal life, it has a present reality. It started, your eternal life started immediately when you became a Christian, but it also has, write it down, a future fulfillment. So it's a present reality, and it's also going to come in a future fulfillment in its fullness. And I have it now, but in one sense, I'm waiting for it too. Does that make sense to you this morning? I've got it, but I don't have it in its fullness. Now, there's something I want you to see about that, because right now I'm living in the meantime. I have eternal life. Christ is in me. He is life. And yet there's coming a day when it's going to be fully revealed, and I'm going to enter into that eternal life fully. But in the meantime, here I am. I'm living my life on earth. I have struggles. Do you have struggles? Do you? I have problems. I have concerns. There are trials that are in my life. There are temptations that I have to deal with. There are issues. Do you have issues? And so, in the meantime, until I get to the very fulfillment of eternal life, God has given us prayer as a means to handle all of those things that I just mentioned. Now go to verse 14 with these thoughts in mind. Go to verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before Him, before God. Now just listen to this. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. Now, notice in those verses that we see the word know two times. We know if He hears, we know that He will answer. And John tells us, this is my confidence as I go to pray. Now that term confidence, that literally means in the Greek this, freedom of speech. It is saying, girls, you have the freedom of speech to go before your Heavenly Father on any issue. Go freely. Go boldly and ask the Father. It reminds me of a verse in Hebrews that I want to throw in. And it's Hebrews 4:16. Look at it on your handout. Therefore, the writer of Hebrews says, let us draw near with confidence, very same word, freedom of speech, to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Are you ever needy? You can go boldly. And you can ask. And you'll receive mercy. And you'll get what you need. Let this sink in this morning. Now go back to verse 14. Let me point out a word that I want you to circle. And I hope it's in this version. Is the word anything in that version?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Circle the word anything. This is the confidence which we have set, which we have before God, that if we ask anything. I like that. But what if I don't say the right thing, Teresa? No, I can go before my Heavenly Father. I can ask anything. I've got freedom of speech. This is my confidence. Now, I'm not telling you this morning. The Holy Scripture is telling us this morning. Isn't that awesome? Now, His hearing here, it says, if I ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, this hearing here on His part means more than just, yeah, He's going to listen to me. He's going to know what I'm asking. I don't want you to miss this. This is talking about a positive hearing. It's a hearing that is going to receive an answer. if we ask anything, literally, God is giving us a blank check here, girls. We can request anything on the bank of His will. Now look at verse 15 again. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know we have the request which we have asked from Him. Here's what I want to say. Hearing equals answer. No limits, blank check. There's just one qualifier. What is it? What's the one qualifier?
God's will.
Good, Marcia. It has to be according to His will. So write that on your handout. I mean, this is just an astounding confidence that I can have in prayer that He's talking about here. I really like thinking about this, don't you? So meanwhile, as Christians, we're living our lives, we're waiting to receive all that God has prepared for those who love Him, and John is telling us that we can have confidence that in the meantime, your prayers are powerful, your prayers are answered. Now let's enrich this just a little bit. Let's go back in 1 John, because remember how he cycles in 1 John. This is not the first time we've heard this in 1 John. Look at chapter 3, verse 21 on your handout. And here he told us before, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. And here comes another qualifier. Because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight, and this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. So let's write that down. If you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know how to put this on your handout. If you keep His commandments, is that on there? And if you love the brothers, that means the body of Christ, your brothers and sisters who are born again. All these things are just the things that follow naturally in salvation. If you are doing those things, then you can have confidence that you can ask whatever you want. And you will receive it. Sisters, you can have confidence when you pray. Now let's go back to another book written by the same writer. Let's go to the Gospel of John. We're going to go to chapter 15, verse 7, and here he's recording the words of Jesus. Because where did John get this idea? This is radical. Well, he got it from Jesus. Let's listen to Jesus' words here in verse 7, where Jesus says, look, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish. Blank check. And it shall be done for you. He's just saying the very same thing. Whatever you wish, it shall be done for you. And so let's add another qualifier here for answered prayer. And it would be this, if you abide in me and my word. That is, are you sharing my life? Are you truly born again? Do you have life? And are you in my word? Now go to verse 16 of that same chapter, because Jesus is still speaking. Let's hear what else he had to say. He's looking at his disciples, and he says this, you did not choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, here is another qualifier that we see for prayer, and it's to ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, I mean, wow. Wow, wow, wow. These are just amazing assortment of statements that are given to us as believing women. They're actually staggering to my heart. I literally cannot quit thinking about them. Let's look at John 16, verses 23 through 24. Jesus is still speaking. He says this, truly, truly. That means this is really true. I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for, what is it? Anything. He will give it to you in my name. Until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Asking you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Now again, he says here, ask in my name. This just isn't some rare, isolated promise. It's all over the New Testament. Now let's just talk for a moment exactly what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to tack at the end of my prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. And that is just, that means I'm going to get it, right? Because I prayed it in his name. No, it's not a magical charm that I add to the end of my prayer. And by the way, I always pray in Jesus' name. I always come in the name of Jesus when I pray. It's not that you shouldn't pray that way, but I just want to say it's a way of saying, Lord, as I'm praying, if this is consistent with who you are, if this is consistent with what you would do, then would you answer these prayers? Now, obviously, these are certainly very generous promises that we're talking about here this morning that God has given to us as believing women. So what can I know? What can I know this morning? Well, we're talking about certainties that Christian women can know, giving you confidence. Well, we can know that God grants our request for the things that are in his will. And you know what? You can know this. You have a blank check. You can go into God's presence with anything. Now, I just mean this is so wonderful. Now, here's the deal. God is under no obligation whatsoever to answer the prayers of those who are in the world, to answer the prayers of those who are not his children. He has no obligation. You know, there are people all over the world. They get into a crisis, and you know, they may cry out to God in prayer. That's not a bad thing. But I just want to say, God has not put himself under obligation to answer the prayers of anybody in the world. He may choose to answer them. He's God. He can do as he pleases. But I'm telling you this morning, when a believer prays in the name of Jesus, when the believer is praying according to the will of God, I am telling you, God has obligated himself to answer your prayer. Is that amazing? This is a Christian certainty that I can know. Unbelievers' prayers, they're futile, but believing women praying, their prayers are powerful, they're fruitful, they're heard, and God obligates himself to answer our prayers. And John is making this truth absolutely clear. And it is expansive. It's just huge, and it's absolutely stunning to me. Now just let yourself think about it this morning. You're just one little woman. I'm just one woman. But when I get in my place of prayer, I'm powerful. I'm powerful in my world. I'm powerful in the lives of my children, in the lives of my grandchildren. They don't even know it. They don't even know their mama and their grandmama are praying. I'm powerful in my church. I don't have to say a word. I can just get in my place of prayer and be powerful. And so can you. Now look at verse 15 again. If we know he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have, underline, we have, the request which we have asked from him. John says there, we know we have. It's not we know we will have. No, you already know. It's a done deal. You already have it when you go to the place of prayer. Then come these very two strange verses. I'm going to read them to you, and you're going to wonder, how in the world do those two verses fit in with what we're saying? What on earth is John talking about? But before I read them, look at me. The main principle is this. As a Christian woman, I can pray. I can know that if I pray according to the will of God, I can know what? That God hears me. And if God hears me, I can know what? I have the answer. Now, that's a Christian certainty. Do you ever, in your praying, you don't see the answer? What's going on, God? What's happening here? And so that's the rule for Christian women and men, but I'm speaking to women. But there's also an exception in our praying, and that's what the next two verses are about. Let's read it. Because they're strange verses, let's just read them. Verse 16, if anyone sees his brother, now I'm saying brother here. So if I say, if you see your brother, who am I talking about? A Christian. But you know, the Bible says there are also a group called so-called brothers. Who would that be? They're not Christians, but they are calling themselves Christians. So let's go back to the verse. If anyone sees his brother, that would be a Christian, committing a sin. Have you ever seen a Christian commit a sin? Have you? Have you as a Christian ever committed a sin? Yes, you have. So it says, if anyone sees his Christian brother committing a sin, and it's a sin not leading to death. There's this category of sin that is called a sin that leads to death. So if you see a brother, he's committing a sin, but that sin's not leading to death. It's not that serious of a sin. What should you do? Well, you should pray. Now look at the verse. Go back. He shall ask. This is talking about you as a believer praying for other people. He shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin, not leading to death. Friend, we need to pray for each other. We mess up all the time, and there is a place to go and confront believers in their sin. But definitely pray. Go back to the verse. But there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he, speaking of a Christian that's praying, he should not make request for this. Don't pray for the one who's sinning a sin unto death. And then verse 17 says this. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not leading to death. Now let's take this apart for a minute. Here's what John is simply saying. He's saying you can be confident praying that God will answer you, and there's only one exception. And that is if you are praying for someone who has committed a sin that is leading to death. In other words, there's no use praying for that because God has already rendered a final decision as to the future of that person, and no matter how much you pray, your prayers will not change it. All prayers regarding that person have no possibility of being heard or answered. But apart from that one exception, ask for anything and God will answer you. And so the question is, and I know you're thinking it in your mind, Teresa, explain to me what is the sin leading unto death, right? Is that what you're wanting to know? Well, let me see if I can try to explain it to you. John really doesn't give us much to go on here. He really doesn't. He just says it and then he moves on. We're like, oh, thank you, John. Wish you'd have given us a little more. But I think there are two possibilities. of what the sin leading to death is. So let's look at the first possibility. And I want you to write down this word. It's an apostate. A-P-O-S-T-A-T-E. What is an apostate? Well, that may be referring to a sin of someone who is not a Christian. Maybe they're hanging around the church and they've heard the gospel and they've heard the gospel and they've heard the gospel, but they've never fully come to embrace the gospel. And the sin that leads to death for that person is God will only let him deal so much with truth, and after that it's like no more for you. So it could be that John is talking about what I said a while ago, a so-called brother. Now, I taught Hebrews in Thursday morning Bible study. We really talked about this because there was a group of people there that they were on the fence. They never could fully go into Christianity. They had one foot in Judaism, and they believed in Jesus. They thought it was all true, but they could never make the decision to go all in for Christ. No matter, they were there. It even said they had tasted of the holy gift. They had seen miracles. It came to them in a powerful way. And they didn't fully embrace it. They kept putting it off and they kept putting it off, but they were enjoying the fellowship, but they wouldn't separate from Judaism. They never would fully come all in. And so if you see a person who's just always flirting with the gospel, always, but never fully coming in, they like hanging around with Christians, they like the church, they like the fellowship, they like all the kudos that goes with it, but they never fully themselves separate from sin. They've got one foot in the world and they've got one foot in the church, but they're not fully in either. And there comes a time, and I don't know when that time is, where God will say, I'm done. And you're an apostate. And you're sinning a sin unto death. And the death would be eternal death. The writer of Hebrews, like I said, talked about this. And what he said is it's like trampling the blood of Christ under your feet. Just stepping all over it. Treating it as not precious. Hearing the truth, turning from the truth. Doing it willfully. It's like those that we saw in 1 John 2:19. Do you remember this? It says, they went out from us because they were not of us. Oh, they hung around for a little while, but now they're gone. Where did they go? Well, they apostatized. I can't really say that word. Patatata. That's how the Bible speaks about it. John says, don't waste your time praying for that person. Now, it isn't a command not to pray, because here's the truth. I can't see a person's heart. I don't know if they've gotten to that point. Do you? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they've gotten to the point where they fully rejected Christ. I don't know if God has deemed him hopeless or her hopeless. So, don't get discouraged if you're praying for someone. Just keep on praying. But know this in your mind. There's that one exception in 1 John. And if you don't see an answer to prayer, and I'll give you a good example of my own brother who lived with us early in our marriage for a season. During that time, he was saved. He was baptized. He was always a rebellious person. But the season he was in our home, he was softened somewhat. He came, we were doing Bible study together. I was so encouraged. But then he was with us. But then he was no longer among us. He moved out. He went his own way. And he became very strange. He got all into all kind of false beliefs. And he wanted to argue about them. He was almost like a white supremacist. He was just militant. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for my brother. And my brother died. And my brother was lost. I think that's a good example of someone who sinned a sin against death. He heard the gospel. He heard the gospel. He even got in the word for himself, but he was all into crazy kinds of doctrines. But I prayed for him till he died. But here's the deal. I don't want to let that mess up my prayer life. God, you didn't answer that. You said in 1 John, if I pray according to your will, isn't it God's will that all men be saved? Absolutely. Well, what happened, God? You let me down. No, he didn't. God didn't let me down. God's telling me right here in 1 John, Teresa, if a person is sinning a sin unto death, don't pray for that person. It helps me know. It gives me some comfort. I'm not going to be discouraged in praying my other prayers because most of my prayers, according to God's will, he hears, he answers. But there are exceptions. And that's what I want you to see this morning. So the first kind of explanation for what is the sin unto death would be that person is an apostate. They have rejected Christ. Now, I don't know at what point someone, you hear testimonies all the time of people who turn their back on God and God brings them back. I don't know at what point this happens. It's different in every life. Let's go to the second possibility. It could be that John is actually talking about praying for a genuine Christian, a willfully sinning believer. Is it possible for a believer to sin a sin unto death? Now, this isn't talking about eternal death. This is talking about their physical death. You know what God will do sometimes with a sinning Christian? He'll just remove them from the church. Can I give you an example out of Corinthians? There are a group of people who were, first of all, there was one man in Corinth who was having sex with his father's wife, which meant his stepmother. And Paul was saying, you got to get that person and you got to discipline that person. And later on, a couple of chapters later, that person comes back. He repents. Well, that certainly should have been the sin unto death, right? But it wasn't. But in that church, there was a sin unto death. And does anybody know what it was? This is just a little Bible trivia. There were a group in that church who were coming to the Lord's table. And they were taking that table and they were doing it wrongly. And back then they had big love feasts surrounding the Lord's table. And they were being gluttonous and they were getting drunk and it was just a bad thing. And Corinth says that there many were asleep. That meant they died because they took the Lord's table in the wrong way. Now, they didn't lose their salvation, but God just took them out of the church. I'll give you another example in Scripture. Do you remember this couple named Ananias and Sapphira? And they lied to the Holy Spirit. And they were all caught up in the wonder of giving money for the persecuted Christians and helping those. And they wanted to get in on it, so they sold something and they brought the money. But then they decided they would keep some of it for themselves, which was fine. You can do that. But here's the problem. They came and acted like they brought all the money, and they lied to the Holy Spirit. And you know what happened to them? They dropped dead right there. That'll get your attention. That was a sin unto death. They didn't lose their salvation, but God took them for the purity of the church. So write it on your handout that way. It is a protection for the church. So which one is it, Teresa? What is the sin unto death? Is it an unbeliever who is a so-called brother, but who is professing Christ, and yet he's living a life of, he's turned away from the gospel? Or is it a true, genuine believer who's just living in unrepentant sin? And I think it can be either. But the truth about me is I can't tell whether a person is truly born again. Only God can see the heart. And I can't tell if a person has sinned so much that he's impossible of being restored. So I'm just going to keep on praying. But in the case of like my brother, I have some comfort in my heart about my prayers. Even though he never repented, this helps me to see what happened in my praying. It doesn't discourage me from stopping to pray for others. You see what I'm saying? So John doesn't say, now just look, quit praying for people. You make the judgment if they've sinned that sin unto death, because only God can make that judgment, right? The truth is, we don't know. And then comes verse 17. I mean, this is serious stuff we're talking about. And he says this: all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin that doesn't lead to death. Can I tell you that I am living proof here? I'm living proof that that verse is true. The truth is, there are many unbelievers living and breathing right here in our midst. And I mean, I'm a believer, and I sin. I mess up all the time. And yet it's not a sin unto death. That helps me. Because we're still here, even though we've sinned. Let me tell you what this lets us know. You know, God is very serious about sin in our lives, right? He is. We need to deal with sin. We need to have a healthy fear of sin. Now, come back to me right now. I don't want you to get hung up on this one little section about a sin unto death. John has put it here to help us to understand when we pray and pray and pray and pray for one who's drifted away and they never come back, that we're not going to just get so depressed and wonder, why didn't God answer our prayer? John says, I don't want you unsettled in your praying if you don't see the answers in the lives of others that you know are the will of God, but you aren't seeing results in your praying. You're not seeing changes in their lives. John says, just keep praying. But apart from those very extreme examples, there's something you can know. That whatever else you ask according to the will of God, he hears, and hearing is the same as having the answer. And that's the incredible part of this lesson this morning that I want you to remember. I want to challenge us this morning just to take very seriously all the resources of heaven that are ours through prayer. What does it mean to you this morning that what we've just seen out of God's written word, that you and I actually have limitless access to anything we ask according to God's will? I don't know about you, but it just blows me away. Now, my time's gone, but let me close with this question. What can you know for certain? Number one, you can know that you are saved. Amen? Number two, you can know that your prayers are answered. Now, you come back next week. We're going to pick up with our third one. And our third one is this: we can know that we have victory over sin. Now, one question. Are you glad you came to Sunday school this morning? Are you glad you came to Sunday school this morning? Do you feel your heart stirred to get into your place of prayer and to get serious about praying for your world? Amen? All right, we've got just 5 minutes, maybe four. See if you can answer one question at your table. And I'll come back and close this in prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning, for giving us this beautiful word about prayer. I pray, Lord, that these ladies' hearts have been encouraged, as I know my heart has been so encouraged as I just have been chewing on these beautiful promises about prayer. Encourage us to be women of prayer, God. May we rise up and learn to stand on your promises, to come in your name, to come boldly, to come with freedom of speech, to come and ask anything, to come and to know that you hear us and that you answer us. I just pray that as we come back each week, I pray that we just be sharing with one another all the wonderful answers that have come in our lives through prayer. Just thank you for this resource. And we just pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now next week we'll finish 1 John and then we'll move into 2 John.